The sermon that I'm going to give today is part two of the pilgrim road of the Christian. Part two, we are going to see the glory of heaven. Do you remember John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? And there was a person, there was a character by the name of Pliable. The word pliable means that he is very flexible. Pliable is a person that is easy to be influenced by another person, easy to persuade. And pliable is basically means to bend. Now, if you remember when Christian met Pliable in Pilgrim's Progress, and Christian told Pliable about the celestial city. He was telling Pliable about the streets of gold, and you know, that's where Christian is heading, to this beautiful celestial city that's made up of streets of gold and so forth. And what did Pliable tell Christian? And Pliable told Christian, I will go with you, and I'm glad to go with you. And Pliable was so excited to go with Christian, and he took off. And he took off pretty fast. And what happened to Pliable when he was taking the narrow road, the ascending narrow road, and when there was agony? And what happened to him when difficulties arose? It became tough as Christian and Pliable got into very muddy, slippery places, and mud was covered all over. When danger came, what happened? What did Pliable say to the Christian? Remember? This is what he said. He told Christian, is this the happiness that you told me? Pliable was angry. He was mad. And that's the last time you see Pliable. What I'm trying to say is this. It's a good picture. There are so many evangelists and pastors today who will give an altar call, and they will tell you, come to Christ, and you can come to Christ just the way you are, and there's nothing to lose, absolutely nothing to lose, and you will gain everything in coming to Christ. And many people who are worldly and greedy, fleshly, to these worldly things, they want to have both worlds because there's nothing to lose. And then many Christians, they would like to come, they want to go to heaven just like as a greediness, and just as to escape hell. You know, they're looking to go to heaven just as to escape hell and go to heaven. And, you know, why a lot of people want to come to become Christian? Well, I can escape hell, so I go to heaven. Well, that's another fleshly thought, isn't it? Isn't that a fleshly thought or not? They don't want to give up this world, just like the Bible. They thought it's easy. And they want both worlds. Pliable was looking for a great city where he can walk on the streets of gold. And he cannot leave the world either. And because he was looking for happiness. So, some people, they want to gain more, that is to have heaven, best of two worlds, and this world is heaven for them. But remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. He said, whoever will lose his life will lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. So whenever a pastor or an evangelist says, you can come to Christ, there's nothing to lose. You will gain everything. That is a false statement. Because Jesus said, whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. And if you are going to save your life for this world, you're going to lose it. So Jesus is telling the truth. And those pastors and evangelists, they're lying. It's deceitful. And how many Christians are today deceived by this kind of teachings? Now, true Christianity, as I said, some people become Christians just to escape hell. Just to escape hell, they become a Christian. So they can have the riches of this world and they think, well, I can have heaven too. Now, that's not truly Christianity. True Christianity is focused on what? Anybody know? True Christianity is focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other religions, think about it, all the other religions are focused on their teachings. Not on the founder. Founder is at the background on the teachings. Only Christianity, we focus, the center is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is at the forefront. The teachings are at the background. So Christianity, the focus is on the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other things surround him. On Pilgrim's Progress, remember the difference between the Christian and the Bible. What was the difference? Christian had a heavy load on his back. Pliable did not have a load on his back. Christian had the heavy load of sin. And he was carrying the sin, the guilt, the burden of sin as he was walking towards the heavenly city. And he realized that he was a sinner. And he felt this sin. But the pliable, he didn't have any sin at all. He didn't have any conscious of sin. And he was walking pretty fast. If you looked at the movie, Pilgrim's Progress. And Christian is a person, we see that he, a true Christian, hates sin. He hates sin. And he grows, the true Christian grows downwards in humility. And he grows upwards in sanctification. It's very important to remember. The growth is both ways. Grows downwards in humility and upwards in sanctification. That's the true Christian. Now, the Christian pilgrims who takes the road that is ascending, because heaven is above, right? He takes the ascending narrow road to heaven. And of course, he's faced with much opposition, as we saw last time. So much temptations, trials, hardships that come in his way. And he has to agonize to enter this narrow road. And he has to wrestle, fight with temptations. And also we saw that he's a stranger on this earth. He's just passing through. And he sees the glittering and the glories of this earth, and this world will offer and tempt him with all the beauties, the amusements, the ambitions, the greediness, the covetousness, the love for the world. So he has to fight every inch of it, agonize it, and abstain from those things in taking the narrow road. And we saw that his destination is where? Heaven. Heaven. But the narrow road that he's taking is not a road that he's taking on a kind of blinded way. No. there are footsteps ahead of him, and he's just following those footsteps. And whose footsteps are those? The Master, Christ Jesus. We can never go on our own way, with our own footsteps. We can never go on this road. On our road is already being paved. Road is already being constructed. Road is already being done by another person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And His footsteps we need to take. If the Christian follows His footsteps, the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the footsteps become very tough sometimes, but he has to fit in those footsteps. As 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." So Christ followed the example, and we follow his footsteps. And Christ's example was what? He suffered. He himself was tempted. He had to agonize many times. And he cried in agony. He prayed in agony. Because although he was sinless, he was tempted in all kinds of sins. And he had to take the same road. And he's the one who went on the same road. God constructed that road, Christ. So here we see we had to take his footsteps. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he told his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me." We have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus is, where is he now? He is in heaven. And he is calling his true sheep. He's calling from heaven. When the effectual call comes, the sinner is regenerated, and he takes the narrow road, and he calls them. And when he calls them, these sheep who are regenerated will hear his voice and follow him. But the hypocrites are the ones who loves this world more than the Lord. They are not going to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they are the ones who will go on their own. They will follow their own footsteps, and they will go according to what the flesh wants them to do. And they will take the broad road of destruction. As Jesus said, John chapter 10:27, "My sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they but follow me." Now, pilgrim's life is a meaningful life. There is meaning to it. Because he has a goal. A lot of people, what is their goal? They're just living day to day. I mean, in a sense, they're just living. They drink, be merry, that's their goal. But the Christian pilgrim's life is meaningful. He has a goal. What is his goal? The goal is to be with the Creator. To be with the one that created us. To be with the Lord and to be with the Savior. When you're, just imagine, if you're in love with a girl or a boy, and then later on you tell the girl or the boy, "I want to marry you." And one of them will say, "Well, what will you give me if I marry you? I will give everything, whatever you want." And here we see they will do anything to get married to that person because they love that person so much. And they will go through sacrifices because they love that person so much, because they want to get married. In the same way, when our Lord and Savior when he loved us first, when he realized how much he loved us first, when we love, then in return we love him, and the same way we will do anything to follow him, even how difficult it is going to be, the road. You understand? We will follow him because he has done everything for us. And we may go through tough, agonizing battles in his flesh on this earth. But just imagine comparing all the difficulties that we go through on this earth, all the agony that we go through this earth, on this earth, and all the temptations that we go on this earth, just compare them to heaven. Or compare them to what Christ did on the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. This is what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul says that what you are going through now is very momentary, very light afflictions. That means Paul is putting his, just imagine there's a weighing scale, huh? On one side of the weighing scale, put the agonies what our Lord went through. And the other side of the weighing scale, put what you are going through. That's very light afflictions. And also Paul says that these afflictions are what? Momentarily. You see that word? It says these afflictions are momentary. That means compared to eternity, you're living just a drop in a bucket here. Very small. Just a very short time. It's so momentary, these afflictions. Compared to eternity, we are going to have a glorious life. So in comparison, wow. What? So the weighing is outweighs the other. And he says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen is transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So, that's the kind of motivation and encouragement the pilgrim has when he takes this narrow road. That's why he can go through the narrow road with agonizing. When these trials comes, he is thinking about what? This, he's saying, you know what? This is compared to eternity, it's very short. You know, if somebody is going to show you something outweighs all the glories, and you are, and this person says, okay, you had to work for this, and I will give it to you. And because it's such a precious, precious treasure, you will work very hard to get that. That's what the pilgrim sees. Heavenly glories, eternal glories. When you compare to eternity, this is nothing. Very momentary. So, when you compare the trials to heaven, oh, he's encouraged by the word of God. That's why pilgrim, the Christian, what does he carry? He carries a book. Without the Bible, we don't know any of these things. That's why we need to get into the Word and read the Word. It's the Word that encourages us. The Word becomes a light unto our path, the Bible says, right? So, when he takes this narrow road, he gives a light. So, when the times are difficult, wow, the light comes. When you're taking the narrow road, sometimes it's slippery. And it's dark. And if you're going in a narrow road and it is dark and slippery, you can easily fall. But if you have a flashlight, you can see. This is the flashlight. The Word of God gives the light. And Apostle Peter, writing to the scattered Christian who were going through the persecution of Nero, what did he say? What kind of these Christians were going through heavy duty persecution from Nero, the emperor? And how did Peter talk to them? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and Peter said, and this is what he said, 1 Peter 1, 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow! Peter is saying, you guys are going through these trials, so am I. We are going through difficulties, so am I. But look to the things in heaven, because you got an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that's not going to fade, and that is going to be reserved for you. Christian pilgrim's mind is not on the earthly inheritance that is going to what? Going to fade away. It's going to disappear. It's going to burn, this earthly inheritance. But he is focused on the heavenly inheritance, which is incorruptible, undefiled, and eternal. That means there's a crown that is reserved for you if you are taking the narrow road. That means there's a throne that is reserved for you if you're taking the narrow road. C.H. Spurgeon gives his story how there was a Christian man who was going to die, and then somebody else told him, aren't you afraid that you're going to lose your inheritance? And the man said, this is his answer. No, was the answer. There is one crown in heaven which the angel Gabriel could not wear, but it will fit my head. There is one throne in heaven which the Apostle Paul could not fill. It was made for me, and I shall have it. Oh, what a joyous thought to the Christian pilgrim who goes through sufferings in this world, because we know God has made us a crown, and that crown is going to be there for us. Just imagine, we are the dust of the earth, the scum of the earth, on our way to hell. How he redeemed us by his precious blood. He loved us before the foundation of the world. Now, this scum, this dung, God has made us so precious. Treasures of jars of clay. Huh? And he has, not only that, he has given us a crown, a heavenly crown. Remember, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 36, we see, Hebrews chapter 11, 36, how the Old Testament saints, and this, you know, we are so blessed because we see the fulfillment of God's word. But they didn't see the fulfillment of God's word. But they walked by faith, as we see in verse 36. Others suffered mocking and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about the skins of sheep, goat, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts, in mountains and dens and the caves of the earth. All these through commended through their faith did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Wow. Just imagine the problems that you are going through compared to the Old Testament saints, what they went through. Is it light, momentary problems that you are going through? Yes. Just imagine these people, yet they focus on a better country, on a better place. Just imagine, we have the fullness of the Word of God today. They didn't have it. How much more, if we are not going through this heavy persecution that they did not go through, and if we, you know, but we have the Word of God, the fullness of it, how much more we should be stronger for the Lord. Huh? many are taking the descending road. Descending road is easy. It's easy to descend. It's fast, easy road. That road leads to hell, the lake of fire, because they have focused their minds on these earthly things. They make their homes as if they are going to live forever. You know, earth becomes their little heaven, and home becomes their little heaven. And they are so much concentrated on these earthly things. And if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 3 verse 18, this is what happened to the people during that time when they became worldly, how God rebuked them in Isaiah 3:18. In that day the Lord will take away the finery of the anklets, the headbands and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, the scarves, the headdresses, the armlets, the sashes, the perfume boxes, and the amulets, the signet rings, and the nose rings, the festal robes, the mantles, the cloaks, the handbags, the mirrors, the linen garments, the turbans, and the veils. God is saying, I'm going to take all your things that you treasure so much. All your material things that you treasure so much, that is so close to your heart. Then he says, verse 26, instead of perfumes, there will be rottenness. And instead of belt, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, instead of beautiful hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a skirt of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. And here, God says, your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty men in battle, and her gates shall lament, and mourn empty, she shall sit on the ground. Just like God said it, it happened. It happened when the enemy came and destroyed Judah. And people, and you see how Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentation. People were mourning. All their precious, those precious worldly things were plundered, and they were killed by the sword, and people were mourning on the streets. It's the same thing that is going to happen. And this is even worse than those days that we are living in today. And because people's thoughts, their minds are set on earthly things instead of the precious word of God, on heavenly things. And so the Christian, who is Christian pilgrim, who is just passing this earth, he says, oh, I'm just a stranger. You know, these things doesn't belong to me. My home is in heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. That's where my home is. Where God has prepared a home for the Christian. Just imagine. If God has prepared a home for the Christian pilgrim, why should we, and if we are going to live on this earth for a very short time, why should we spend so much time and labor on a home that is going to perish anyway instead of being content? Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. The enemy is very good as he whispers to our ears and says, you know what? Heaven is a boring place. Heaven is just boring. There's nothing to see there. You know, God is spirit, and we are going to be just spiritual beings. We just be floating around in the space somewhere. That is heaven. But the Bible is very clear that heaven is not only a place. It's heaven is a location. It's a place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. A location for you. A place where you can live. And also, remember, the best example that I gave you is that you will be not just floating in your spirits all over the space. No. In 1 Corinthians 15:40, Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:40, there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. A body is, in Greek, is called soma, means it is literally a body. Okay? But the glory of the heavenly body is one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. Jehovah's Witnesses say, nobody can go to heaven. When we die, we are going to be just spiritual beings. But we say the Greek word is soma. It means literally a body that you can touch. It's not a spirit. Our Lord Jesus is in heaven. And He has a body. A real body that you can see. Okay? That means He has a heavenly body. A heavenly body is a glorious body. It's a body that is made out of flesh and bones. And this body is an immortal body. In Luke chapter 24, verse 38, and He said to them, told the disciples, when the disciples saw Jesus on the walking on water, they thought He's a ghost, a spirit. You know, they thought He's died, you know, and some people, you know, you believe, that some people believe that when some person dies and sees somebody, oh, man, I saw a ghost, you know. No, that's what the disciples saw. Then Jesus said, Luke 24:38, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that is, it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Heavenly body is a real body you can touch. This heavenly body, this glorious body, has its own will. We can go through the walls, you know, because it's a spiritual, glorious body. It can go at its own will here and there. And what's going to happen to the Christian pilgrim? Oh, the first thing, you know, when you're born again, you're just justified. With your justification, you grow in your sanctification. Huh? Then, what's the last one? Glorification. Philippians chapter 3:21 says, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. That one day, when we are in heaven, when we die, God is going to transform these mortal bodies into a glorious body, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to have a real body in heaven. So heaven is not just a spiritual place, but also there are material things that you will see one another. A body is a person, okay? That's very important to understand. Now, we know that heaven is a real place. That means the Lord Jesus, heaven is a real place. He did not redeem us, He did not redeem only our spirit. He redeemed our body also. Just like earth is a place, heaven is a place. Because, says there, He went to prepare a place for us. He redeemed not only our spirit, but also our bodies. And one day, He's going to redeem all our bodies. Now, it was not easy for the Christians to take this pilgrim path. He had to fight the battle. He had to wrestle with his spirit and the flesh and abstain from the flesh, the lusts and the, you know, there are sometimes you're slipping and sometimes you're falling and sliding in this narrow road. But wow, by the grace, when you come to heaven, you come to heaven by the grace of God alone. When the pearly gates are open, you come there by the grace of God alone. You can never, ever take this road on your own good works. Absolutely not. Only by the grace of God you can go there. You know, it's amazing. If you talk about heavenly things, if you talk about heaven, you cannot talk of heaven. The whole earth is not enough. It doesn't contain the words to talk of heaven. Because heaven is an eternal place. You can never ever finish talking. Even though, but it's a struggle. It's a true paradise. It's a real place where we cannot describe in words. We cannot describe what heaven is. It's a place of joy. You know, the pilgrim who suffered on this earth, he gets joy and comfort. Apostle Paul talks on, he speaks on 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9, he gives this wonderful scripture. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Wow. These are the scriptures that keeps us moving towards the narrow road, that compels us to go, gives us the motivation and then encouragement. It's the light of the Word of God. The main object of heaven is what? The pearly gates, the beautiful streets of gold. The main object of heaven is God Himself. The main object of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no sun in heaven because God Himself gives light. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Revelation 5, 6. Says here, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Amen. Sent forth into all the earth. The pearly gates are open for the tired pilgrim when he enters heaven. The weary pilgrim, he enters through the pearly gates and it is not the pearly gates or the streets of gold is the main attraction in heaven. He sees who? The King of Glory. That is the main attraction. He sees the King of Beauty in the midst of the throne, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Apostle John was not attracted to the streets of gold, but to the center of the throne, the Lamb of God. He was attracted to his who? To his Redeemer, who saved him. The one who purchased us from hell to heaven. That's where our attraction is. The one who saved us. The one who gave us eternal life. The one who brought us through this narrow road to heaven. That's what attracts us. The center of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we will truly admire His beauty for eternity. We are going to admire His beauty. We will marvel at His wonders and we will adore Him forever. In here, Christian pilgrim's joy is complete when he sees his Lord and his Savior. To be with Christ is to where your joy is complete. Our whole future destiny is to be with the Lord forever and to behold His glory. That's our future and our destiny. Puritan Richard Baxter said, I cannot tell you, dear friends, nor can mortal life tell that what God had prepared for them that love Him. In Psalm chapter 73, verse 25 says, Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth I desire beside thee. Whom am I in heaven? None but beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom do I have in earth that I desire? None beside the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian pilgrim love not the things, love not the world or the things of this world, as he loves his Redeemer, as his love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the glory of heaven. The Christian pilgrim has won the battle against the flesh and this world, and he has victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ, through him, he enters the joy of heaven. And he remembers how he was tempted with perishing, how he was tempted, when he was on this earth, he will remember the goal of this earth, how he was tempted by the perishing goals of this earth and the material things. But now, he's walking on the streets of gold. How people get so tempted for a little tiny piece of gold, huh? When you can, in eternity, you'll be walking on the streets of gold. The ones that love and treasure the goals of this earth are burning in the lake of fire. Can you compare your earthly home, your earthly materials to the mansion in heaven? Can you compare the streets of dirt on this earth to the streets of gold in heaven? Absolutely not. But many would love to wear the crown of gold here on this earth. They don't want to wear the crown of thorns. And they're so greedy and selfish for earthly pleasures and passions. They want the comforts now. And now, they don't want to take the narrow road because it hurts them. Remember, if you have justification, you must have sanctification. If you say you have justification and you don't have sanctification, you don't have justification. If you would have forgiveness of sins, if you say that you have forgiven of sins, you must have holiness after that. You must have holiness. Many people, many hypocrites pray, "Oh Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my pet sins, darling sins that I will not sin." And they say, "Lord, forgive me." And after that, 30 minutes later, they run again back to their darling sins. And they're continuing in their darling sins. And in prayer, they say, "God, forgive me of these darling sins." You know, what we see here is prayer should follow with action. Otherwise, it's not a prayer. It's just a mouth. You uttered something to the Lord. Prayer should follow with action. That means, what is the action? It's the crucifying the flesh. The great Puritan theologian, John Owen, calls this mortification. It gives a spiritual meaning of cutting something and killing the sin. Let me give you an example of myself, so you know what I'm talking here. When I was a Buddhist, I loved pop music. I loved sports. But as I began to grow, when I became a Christian, as I began to grow, and as I was ascending in the uphill in my sanctification, as I was going towards heaven, my Lord Jesus Christ became closer to me, and the sports, I also had another darling, that is my sports and my beautiful worldly songs that I loved. But the more I was climbing, I could see I was getting closer to heaven. And I see this is a hindrance for me. Just imagine if I was going to, before, I used to spend hours. Even sports today, think about sports today, okay? Just think about it. Every sport is a series today. If you watch a sports, tennis game or whatever like that, Wimbledon or US Open, you got to watch the whole thing. Otherwise, you don't know who is the winner. Basketball is the same thing. You got to watch the whole thing at the end. That means you are watching a sports event on TV for hours and hours, days and days, never ending until the whole thing finishes. Then comes again the next year, the same thing. And sports for an exercise is good. But just imagine watching something. I realized this is a hindrance to my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm spending so much time just watching something, seated on a couch. It's bad for my health, bad for my physical health, and also for your spiritual. I'm wasting my time. When the Lord says, redeem the time. The time is here. And then I saw the mortification. I'll tell you. So the more it was coming, so I had to mortify this. That means I got to kill this darling sin. And the killing is, crucifying is not easy. Oh, when you try to crucify your darling sin, it hurts because it's a darling. It hurts. It's painful to the flesh. It was not easy to kill what you love. There is pain. Mortification does not mean that I have completely killed the sin. That's important to understand. If it means that I have completely killed the sin, I'm a perfect person. No. It means by crucifying the flesh, the sin's evil dominion is weakened. It means that we are not governed by sin anymore. Sin is not, we are not governed or dominion over us, sin is not our dominion. Our sin doesn't govern us anymore. Those sins that I love so much is weakened. Now it is the spirit that controls me. And mortification happens inwardly. And it can be done. How can it be done, mortification? It can be done only by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian. Because the Spirit that is in us, in the Christian, you're called what? Temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit that is in us. What is the job of the Holy Spirit that is in you? Just to stay, just to stay there? No. Holy Spirit is there. What did Jesus say? He's the one, He's the Spirit of truth. He leads us to truth. And He's the comforter. And He's the one who takes us this narrow road, the Spirit of truth, taking the truth way. And He comforts us, right? He's a comforter. So He's the one who can kill this. Not our flesh. It's the Spirit, Holy Spirit that is in us. Now my darling sports have no dominion anymore. The Spirit has dominion over them. I'm governed not by the flesh anymore, but by the Spirit of God. Good example in Scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans 6:12. Let me read it for you. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Verse 13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God, to those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you once you are not under the law but under grace. Sin has no more dominion. It is weakened. The only place that the sin is completely destroyed is when you die. Christians are, that's what you see here in taking this narrow road. We talk about the pilgrim who went to heaven and he sees, wow. You need to have a lot of discipline. Yeah. Just imagine. You have a job. If you start at 3 o'clock in the morning, your work, you may get up at 2 o'clock. That is discipline. You had to go to bed early. That is discipline. And you got to work hard. That is discipline. How much more important is spiritual things? If you are disciplined for earthly things, so much, how much more important are the spiritual becomes? Because these earthly things are for what? How long? Very short. Heavenly things for eternity. How much more you should be involved in spiritual discipline? Beloved, if you love to walk on the streets of gold above, you must walk the road of holiness below. Earthly pleasures is only for a short time, but the punishment is for eternity. So imagine, people on this earth, for a very short time, they want to have this earthly pleasure. Very short time. They want to have all the amusements and the glories and the earthly pleasure and all these earthly things. But the punishment is for eternity. On the other hand, for the Christian, the suffering, the agonizing, abstaining from evil pleasure, taking the narrow road, is only for a very short time. But heavenly glory, heavenly pleasures, heaven is for eternity. See the difference here? The life on earth for the Christian pilgrims is filled with what? Pain, tears, sighs, and groans. But Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things have passed away." Someone said the path of sorrow and the path alone leads to the place where sorrow is unknown. Yes. Sorrow is unknown in heaven. There is no word in heaven which is called sorrow. There is no word in heaven which is called sin. There is no word in heaven which is called tears or pain. There are no words for that. Those words are, there are no words in heaven which is called death. Death is the sorrow of all, especially a separation of a loved one is very sorrowful. Very painful. But there will be no more death in heaven. The old Adam, this earthly flesh, our fallen nature, what happened to the old Adam? It is rotten. And worms devour it. And this old Adam deserved the rottenness and to earthworms to devour this old Adam. It is our worst enemy. It is the enemy that tempted us. So it deserves it. But in heaven, wow, there's going to be rejoicing. In heaven, there's going to be rejoicing. In hell, there's going to be screaming. Forward in the narrow uphill road to heaven is the upward calling of the Christian. But to do nothing on this earth is going to hell. Christian is called for forward, taking the narrow road, not to do nothing. There are some who have made this earth as their heaven, and they have heard the gospel over and over again. And they have messages, they heard the messages that came from the pulpit over and over again. But they have continually rejected what came from the pulpit. They have continually rejected godly counsel. And if they keep on rejecting, they will die and go to the destruction, to the lake of fire, which will break the pastor's heart. Amen. Let's pray.